Okay, this gospel reading, as so many, sounds like a recipe for sadomasochism. Oh, I'm no good. Oh, I'm rotten. And you're all better than me. Well, folks, we assume that Jesus was a more canny judge of human experience than that. So we have to say, what lies behind this? Why would he even say something like that? Consider yourself the servant of all. The great foot washing scene in John's gospel is what leads me all the time in this, however badly I carry it out. So what's the issue here? The issue is that of power. Power. Who's in charge? Who's on top? Who's the boss? And that we recognize, I think. Because power among us human beings, in about 98 or 99% of the cases, means power to overpower somebody or something. That's power. You make somebody do what you want them to do, whether they want to or not. That's power. Well, clearly that's not what's in play here. So Jesus is not prescribing a form of sadomasochism, but rather a whole reconsideration of the nature of human relationships. The one that wants to be boss must be the servant of all. There's a very corny joke that I heard years ago that I still think is good. Who's a Christian Catholic layman? Is one for whom the Pope is the servant of the servants of God. And the servants of God are bishops, cardinals, and they're the servants of the servants of God. And bishops are the servants of the servants of God. And parish priests are the servants of the servants of God. And lay people are people who have service problems. Which is exactly the case, I think. At least it has been in my experience. But it is brute power we're talking about. And I hope it's serendipity. Another text from the New Testament caught my mind this week, which will offer a real and true example of what overpowering and powering means. And that passage is, "Do not judge, lest you be judged." Now that too sounds crazy. We all make judgments, all the time. She's good, he's bad, we're all wonderful, we all stink, you know. We do that with great regularity, you know. And that puts our world in place. We know to avoid this one, to attract this one, blah, 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 blah. But then you have to look closely here, too, as in all places in the New Testament. What does it mean to judge? To go around like Elmer Gump or whatever that guy in that movie was. Ted Gump?
Forrest Gump.
Oh, everything's all right. I'm happy. You're good. I'm good. We're all good. Blah, blah, blah. No, come on. That's to reduce us to imbecility. That's to infantilize us and to trivialize the gospel. So what is the structure of judging? Judgment is an act of power. That's where I find the connection. Judgment is an act of power. If I can assign you a certain meaning, a certain status, a certain place in the universe, a certain place in my world, and I make the determination, absolute, irreformable, that this is the way it is. Period. Full stop. And we do that nonsense regularly, too. At least I do. And most of the people I know do it. So what's wrong with that? It bespeaks an arrogance, a hubris, which claims that I know the inside, the depths of another human being better than they do. which is fatuous and destructive and an act of overpowering people. You put them in a category, you sign them a position, and that's it. And there's no discussion after that. And we do that all the time, I think. And we do it at different levels. We do it differently with our boss or with our parents or with our kids. Or it varies given the particular personal constellation. But the structure remains the same. I know who you are better than you know who you are. And this is what you should be. I was talking to one of my sons a couple of days, and I said, Marcelo, the worst thing you could do is to start a sentence in the following way. The thing that you need to do is blah, 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 blah. Which we do all the time. Nobody can say that about anybody. I insist. We can surmise, we can speculate, but that's not the way it usually works. It works like I grab something and hold it for dear life because this is the truth. It's not the truth. And anybody who spent 10 minutes in introspection knows that no human being is transparent. No human being is perceptible to his or her depths. I don't know who I am. So what do? Walk around in a state of benign ignorance? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I guess it's all right. No! God gave us a mind to make distinctions among people. But once we absolutize those distinctions, we have violated the humanity of this other person, who's far deeper, far more mysterious, far more impenetrable, even than they know, even than I know. So what do? It's very simple, I think, however difficult. You ride lightly to your own judgments.
You what?
You ride lightly. In other words, no judgment is irreformable. It all must be open to revision. See, it's when we shut these doors, when we close the boxes, that way lies madness and the destruction of the possibility of human community, which is what it's all about. In other words, the only way we can really apply judgment is out of a state of profound ignorance and provisionality. Anything more than that is destructive. Is destructive. It breaks the possibility of community. It certainly breaks the possibility of me being a servant of anybody. Because if I know who you are better than you know who you are, then by God, who's in charge? Who has the power? I do. And that's first of all, it's rubbish. As most of us sooner or later find out in a given instance. But it should make us extraordinarily cautious in the judgment we make. And secondly, it should make us extraordinarily careful about the finality of any judgment we make. There's a wonderful line in the book of Revelations, of all places, where it says, who we are is hidden in God. It's written on a white stone. Our identity is written on a white stone, and only God has those stones. Only God can read those stones. Because every time we want to jump the gun on God, we're going to screw up in a major way. I can assure you. And I'm older than anybody else in this room, so that's the truth. That was a joke, sort of. So we pray for a little more humility than we normally bring to our lives.